Take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1. There's nothing more gratifying for a child of God to witness to someone and they receive Jesus Christ. The Bible says, they that winneth souls are wise. It's an important part, one of the most important parts that we do as a church is to win others to Jesus Christ. We're witnesses unto God, witnesses unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I had the honor of witnessing to Brother Richard the other day in the hospital, and he bowed his head and prayed and asked Jesus Christ to receive him. And no, it's not found in his prayer. It's found in the heart that turns to God. The prayer many times just gives closure. I think a lot of folks, when we come to the altar, that heart is right before they ever get to the altar, and the words are just a testament to what the heart has already done. The Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And we know that the Bible says that that Holy Spirit of God, that Word of God, is able to discern the very thoughts and intents of the heart. So it was a joy for me to be able to do that. And I'm going to read in Acts 1 and verse 6. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel, kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, there it is, witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when they had spoken these things, they beheld he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Heavenly Father, we love you today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunities that you give for us to witness our precious Lord and Savior, Lord. Thank you for that sacrifice on Calvary's cross, Lord. Hold me up today by the power of your might, Lord, and let hearts be open and attuned to the preaching of your holy word, Lord. And we'll thank you, praise you, and give you glory for all that is said and done here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, here in our text, the Lord told the disciples that they would be witnesses unto him. Notice that their witness in our text is empowered by the Holy Ghost of God. We in ourselves have no power, but God has all power. And God is able to do, said his work, worketh effectually. So today, every spirit-filled, blood-bought child of God is called to be a witness unto Jesus Christ. We see our responsibilities as a church. First of all, our responsibility is to bring glory to God. That's what we do. And we do that by two things: soul winning and personal holiness. Their personal holiness allows us to be effective witnesses because we eliminate those things which would be a stumbling block to the gospel of Christ. Jesus told his disciples, said, ye are the light of the world. We live in a very dark world. Brother Phil was talking about the craziness of this world that we live in today. And we look around us, and it's a very different world than it was when I was a young man. A very different world, different philosophy. The leadership is totally a 180 from what I was taught and what I believe. But even though man is born in sin and man is born in depravity, the prophet Ezra said that the hand of our God, now watch it, is upon all them for good that seek him. So if someone is legitimately seeking after God, God will reveal himself to that man. You remember Cornelius? Cornelius wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile. But he prayed to God. He worked righteousness. He sought God in sincerity and honesty. And the Lord said, your prayers have come up for a memorial. And God sent him to a man to give him the gospel. So that verse just said that when someone is seeking God, God's hand is upon them for good. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Someone hears the word, hopefully that heart will be touched. If that man's heart is wanting to know about God, that heart will be touched. The psalmist said in Psalms 91:10, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. The problem, of course, the great problem is today that not many men, not many women or boys and girls are seeking God. And the condemnation comes whenever men in any age reject the light that God reveals to them, that God gives them. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, they'll say, well, what's God's will? Well, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That verse knocks a big hole in the doctrine of John Calvin, who taught that it's all cut and dried, that you don't have any choice in the matter, but he was wrong. He ignored a ton of verses in Scripture that says, whosoever will. Whosoever will. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. My. God's will is that all men come to repentance. God wants the unbelievers to change their mind about their own unbelieving stance and turn toward Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:19, the Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now that light is Jesus Christ, who John said lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Well, I think God's got to draw, man. Well, the light's there. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Said, if I be lifted up, his crucifixion said, I will draw all men unto me. How does that work? I'm not really sure. The Holy Spirit's right in the middle of it. The Holy Spirit's got to draw that man. But if a man's interested, it's there. Anybody who seeks God can find God. But here's the problem. If a man loves darkness, and many do, he doesn't want the light. A lot of folks are just happy with the way things are. I've heard some of my old buddies say, I'm going to go to hell. I'll just have a big party with all my buddies down there. No, you won't. You've been misinformed. You've been misled. Some men stumble around in the darkness their entire life, and then they go to hell because they refuse the light. Hey, we're sinners. We're born with that sinful nature. And what keeps a man from going to heaven is rejection of the gift of God, Jesus Christ. So, well, if I do this, I'm going to hell. No, what you go to hell for is rejecting Jesus Christ. But you know that crowd, many are unregenerate. They're closed mind to the things of God. The natural man in his natural state don't want to listen to the things of God. He don't want to hear them. Unregenerate, unrepentant. Well, I'm not going to change for anybody. I mentioned that last week, a fellow I dealt with. I'm not going to change for anybody. I don't regret anything. I'm not sorry for anything I've ever done in this life. Look out. Who are you? Who are you kidding? Who are you? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know the crowd? You've seen them. You've seen some of them on TV. Bill Mayer. He thinks God is just a big joke. Who was it that said God, religion, an opiate of the masses? just a big joke. Now, that's what some of that crowd thinks. John Lennon, Albert Einstein. Man, Albert Einstein, smart as a whip, dumb as a rock. Had no spiritual sense at all. Job 21:14, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Sounds like America today. Sounds like our school systems today. We don't want anything to do with God. We expelled him a long time ago. Prayer, we don't pray in schools. The Bible, get that thing out of here. Bible says about that crowd in Job 21:13, they spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Go to the grave without hope and without God in this world, according to Ephesians 5, I believe it is. John Lennon said that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. What happened with him? They shot him down in the street. Surely, hopefully someone, sometime, somewhere, surely had told him about God. He just didn't want to get involved. A lot of folks don't want to get involved with Jesus Christ. Bill Mayer knows about Jesus Christ. He just chooses to deny him. Unregenerate, unrepentant, unresponsive. The woods are full of them today. People that refuse to respond to the gospel. Oh, I'm doing okay like I am. Hey, especially our young people, the woke elite takeover of our public school system that have just about eliminated entirely the role of God in the affairs of man. Especially in the educational system, the public educational system. Romans 1:28. Paul said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They cry, God, leave us alone. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now there comes a time whenever someone just consistently rejects that gospel, God will quit dealing with them. There comes a time. There comes a time, the Bible says, when God says, I've had it, that's it, and he turns them over to a reprobate mind. They close their ears to the truth. You know people like that. I know people like that. Their mind is closed. Their heart is closed. Their ears are closed to the truth. God just allows them to be what they want to be. Bible says God will answer a man according to the multitude of his idols, and he'll answer a man according to his ways. Bible says of that crowd that they are willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. I've seen it. You've seen it. People refuse to hear anything about God. Absolutely not interested. Hey, it's not our role as witnesses for Christ to necessarily convince someone to want to be saved. How do you make somebody want to do something? Holy Spirit, that's where that influence, that drawing influence. Christ is there. It's there. That draw is there if they will turn toward it. Turn toward it. My job isn't to make someone want to be saved. My job as a witness for Christ is to point someone to Jesus Christ and how to be saved. I mean, I heard a preacher say, preacher Aspect has said, getting saved easy is falling off a log. You either believe it or you don't. You go to Christ, say, forgive me, I'm a mess. I have mercy on me. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to save my soul. He loves you enough to save you where you are, and he also loved you enough to not leave you there. He starts working on your heart. We point folks to the light. Now, let me qualify that by saying that we avoid in our lives being a stumbling block to the gospel. You can't witness for Jesus Christ if you're living like the devil. You've destroyed your witness, your testimony. Paul said he's worried about being a castaway. That's the man who gets put up on the shelf. Not talking about his salvation, about his ministry, his witness for God. Beyond the work of that, the work of salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus told the disciples in our text, said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Now the disciples asked him when he was going to restore the kingdom of Israel. They had a lot of questions. He said, "Well, you don't need to know that right now." Said, "I have some other fish to fry right now." He was talking about the Gentile bride of Christ, which was hidden from those in times past. Acts 1:6 in our text, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." It's a witness of God, the Holy Spirit witness, that gets the job done. What Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." It's a power. There's power in that gospel. 1 John 5:9, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Don't want to believe it. I'm afraid many times we just believe what we want to believe. I remember one time, when O.J. Simpson was on trial, I mean, it was obvious, and by the reason, you know, that he killed those folks. I had a woman tell me, "Well, that is going on." Well, I just believe in my heart that he didn't do it. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If your heart don't line up with the Word of God, you better point your heart in a different direction. My. It's a witness of God that gets a job done. The witness of God has been present to every man who's ever walked the face of the earth. I dealt with a young woman the other night who had trouble believing that Jesus was who he said he was and believing God. And I went through the witness of creation with her. I said, "Look around you. The fool hath said in his heart, there's no God." You can see, God gave man the witness of creation. Man can't replicate that. Man couldn't make a butterfly, no matter how hard they tried. Man can't duplicate those things of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. God also gave the Jew the law. The problem is that men refuse to accept the life that God gives them. And here's the dilemma. Men are born with that sinful nature. It's in our nature to be a mess. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all gone out of the way. We've all become as an unclean thing. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. So the thing is here that man really don't deserve to be saved. That's the quandary that Jonah faced. Nineveh? Those guys in Nineveh, man, that's a wicked. They don't deserve to get saved. And I'm supposed to go preach to that crowd? He went and preached to them. God told him he's going to destroy them in 40 days. After he preached to them, they repented and got right, and God didn't do it. I think he did it much later. But then, you know what? Jonah was mad. He's mad at God. Got upset with God because he didn't kill that crowd. Hey, we know it's a wicked crowd. We know they don't deserve to get saved. But Jesus Christ deserves to be declared after what he did. Only thing men really have come to them is penalty for their sin. The only rebuttal to sin is this selfless act of the one offended against, sinned against. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ and his redemptive work on Calvary's cross, that deserves to be declared. Hey, come unto me, all you that labor. That's our message. I have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saved, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus save, Jesus save. They need to know that. He needs to be declared. God is good. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are witnesses unto Jesus Christ. Hey, I mentioned that God gave the law, the witness of the law, to the Jew. When the law came to the Jew, whenever he violated the witness of the law God put down, or the witness of God through his prophets, then he was held accountable. God's law was a witness to the righteousness of God, and he brought condemnation to man. Paul said, I had not known sin until the law came. The holiness and righteousness of the law condemned the sinfulness of man and gave light to the fact that our sin was exceeding sinful. It violated the righteousness of God. It removed us from the fellowship with God. That's why God withdrew his spirit from Adam and Eve. He couldn't abide the sin. So God gave the Gentile the witness of his conscience. Whenever a man violates his conscience, it wasn't a Jew, but those living without the law, he violated his conscience, and every man has a conscience. God put that in a man that he might know that he's violated a law of God. God has always been just. God has always given man a witness and light if a man wanted to come to it. God is holy. He's righteous. And he's just. The Bible says in Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He's a righteous judge. Now when Jesus Christ showed up, God sent John the Baptist to be a witness, a voice for him. The Bible says in John 1:6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. It says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was a true light, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now when the Lord began his ministry, the Bible says in John 5:36, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Miracle after miracle, that was to demonstrate the power of God to the Jew who God always dealt with by signs and wonders. So God gave the witness of creation, the witness of conscience. He gave the witness through law and the prophets. And in Hebrews 1, the Bible says, Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, When he had by himself purged our sins, sit down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Paul said in Romans 3:23, correction, 3:21, but now The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man is regenerate, unrepentant, unresponsive to the gospel. Give him some light. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Be a witness, be a testimony to the lost. We get over to Acts 1:8. We have a passing of the torch where it said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Bearing in mind that a lot of men are not interested. That shouldn't slow you down. That should fire you up to warn them of this terrible place called hell. So as Christian, we should understand that we witness. When we witness, it's in the power of God. It's the power of God that gets the job done. The power of the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. But Jesus Christ can. The Holy Spirit can touch that heart and lean on a man and draw him if he is interested. Whenever we witness, it's the Spirit of God that has to convict someone of their sin and their need for a Savior. Someone gets saved or someone don't get saved, that's not my responsibility or yours. Our responsibility is to be a witness. Witness the gospel. We are witnesses to and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that may just involve telling someone what God has done for you. That woman that the Lord led to him at the well. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well? She ran right into town and said, come see a man that told me all things whichever I did. Surely this is the Christ. Bible says many believe because of what she said. If I'm dealing with someone about salvation, and I like using Scripture because the Lord said, the Lords that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. So I know that whenever I use the Word of God, the presence of God is there in His Word. He is the one that has to do the convicting. First of all, do you love the sinner enough to declare Jesus? Do you love Jesus Christ enough to declare Him, whether you love the sinner or not? But God wants you to love the sinner. Warn him. Love him enough to pull him out of the fire. Jude 1:23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating him in the garment spotted by the flesh. Love sinners with the same love and compassion that Christ did. Understand that Jesus Christ deserves to be declared, even though many times men don't want to hear him. They're unrepentant. Many are unresponsive. But you never know whom the Spirit of God is going to touch. You never know when God's going to move on that heart. You don't know where that soul has been in their search for truth and God. God may have led you there for that specific person to be a witness to that man or that woman or that boy or girl. Carnal nature of a lost man, you know, they just relate to the things of the flesh. But God will go to a man that's looking for him. They that seek me early shall find me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And you look at that lost soul, you look at it with grace. Not only love, grace, and mercy. The same that God showed to you. David said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Let your life be a witness. Avoid those things that would be a stumbling block to the cause of Christ, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 12:1, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Samaria and Judea and Jerusalem and all the uttermost part of the world. Witnesses, that's what we are. I'm done this morning. If everyone stand up. God loves you. He wants to save those relatives of yours, that family of yours who maybe has never reached out by faith and trusted Christ. Won't you be a witness to them? Won't you be a witness? After we get done with the invitation, I'm going to make a little announcement here. So the altar's open. If there's something burdening your heart, maybe you need to get saved this morning. Maybe you've got someone you love you want to pray about. Whatever reason, won't you come?
270.
Just as I am, without one plea but that. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. Thank you for coming out this morning. God is good. I want to make an announcement today. I'm coming up on 22 years being here at Hope Baptist Church as pastor. And so the church has been wonderful to me, been good to me, and I'm with much gratitude and love. I think it's time for me to step down from the responsibilities as senior pastor. I'm still going to be here. I'm still going to be involved in the work, but the day-to-day responsibilities I'm going to pass on. We've got a good staff in place. Jeremiah has been my understudy for several years, and he's going to step up into that job and see how God deals with that. If God has put him here, I've appointed about five men that are going to look at the process on the changeover. I'm going to retire looking at around August 1st in that time period as God leads there. And I've got the normal old people stuff that if you're my age, a lot of you got. I've got a rheumatoid psoriatic arthritis that I hurt all the time. I don't have the energy that a pastor needs to have. Two cancer surgeries. I have swelling in my neck that I was fighting it this morning against my vocal cords. There comes a time that the day-to-day responsibility I'm passing down, I will be submitting myself to Pastor Gabbard and his authority, and let the men, we'll see. Folks say that that God brings a man to a church. God brings a man, and the church comes to a point where they either agree with God or they don't agree with God. So that's where he does. Brother Jeremiah has been so faithful to me, and we're going to pray that God empowers him for the work, and pray that you give him every opportunity to be that man, and we'll let the men work it out on if we're going to pay him anything, and what we're going to do with the staff and that kind of thing. But that's to come. I appointed five men that are faithful men that are here every service just about, and they're going to be looking after that part as the Bible says that transition takes place. So pray for me. 22 years. It's been a good run. lot of folks have been saved. God's done it. And I've got sense enough to know that it's God that did it and not me. And so I don't take any credit for anything here. It's the love and power of God. And He's blessed His work. I think a big part is He's blessed because we're a Bible-believing church. We haven't denied His Word as He accused some of the churches in the Revelation of denying His Word. We have a final authority, and that's the Word of God. All right. All hearts and minds clear. Brother Phil, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?